Okay, well, what we can do, because I actually did talk to Deshaun earlier today, I would like to kind of switch a few things on the agenda. I would like to move, Tom, if it's okay with you, to move item E, which is the BNSF alternative access study, up to under the waste management discussion. So we'll have waste management, then we'll do BNSF, and then we'll go down the rest. Is that okay with you? Okay. Everybody else okay with that? All right, let me figure out where Deshaun is. And if Deshaun doesn't pop on in the next 2 minutes.
He just showed up.
Yay! Get so excited about things, you know. There he is. Okay, Deshaun, if it's okay with you, what I've decided to do is move item E up to B. So we'll do waste management, then BNSF, and then go from there. If that's okay? All right. And also tonight, I know we have quite a few things to talk about, but in order to give the committee members and staff a bit of a break before we move into our next meeting at 7 o'clock, we'll wrap this one up at 6:45. I'm confident that we can cover everything, but just in case, I just wanted to put that out there. Whatever we don't get to, we will talk about another time. So, all right. So let's start off with the first item on our agenda, which is the waste management service discussion. Laurel, do you want to introduce Laura and we can go from there?
Sure, sorry for the delay. We have guests from Waste Management, Laura Moser and Randy Jones.
Great.
And I'll let them take it from here. Thank you.
Okay, great. So I suppose you guys know why we asked for you to present.
Well, I saw some social media posts
Okay.
that Laurel passed on. So I don't really have an official presentation
That's fine.
as much as I think you just wanted to have a conversation. And so I work for Waste Management. I've been with them for 26 years, and I manage various contracts. The City of Tukwila contract was recently turned over to me the end of last year. Randy Jones is one of our route managers, and he oversees all the drivers that service customers, residential customers in the City of Tukwila. And so I asked him to join us after reading the social media posts. A lot of service issues, I think, probably were on your mind. So I don't know if you had specific questions or a place you wanted to start, or if you want me to just talk about some protocols and processes that we follow to maybe address some of these issues. Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful because you saw the specific things, and I think a lot of the issues are around the recycle issue. That seems to be where something, because if it's my understanding, there was a truck that it blew up or something, or you had some truck issues.
Probably.
Yeah, and then we were talking
That
some other issues. So I'll just let you
happens.
go ahead and take it from there.
Okay. Mr. McCloy, did you have a question?
When you talk about protocol, we read these posts on social media. Maybe we want to interact with our constituents, and so where do we direct them? You can speak to that as well, please.
Well, certainly, you bet. I would say the first step for any customer, whether they're a resident or a business and they have an issue with service, is to call into the customer service center. The agents, have tools to know and understand the contract. It's called Green Pages. It has all the contract requirements in it, and then they have their own processes that they follow. So every time a customer calls in with a complaint, a missed pickup, no matter what it is, there is a ticket created off of that customer's account. And then I'll let Randy take it from there because he's the one that would deal with those tickets.
Good. Thank you, Laura. Thanks for the opportunity to meet with you folks tonight. I know I've met Hari in person, and I think he's the only one. I used to participate in the on-site meetings that we had with the City of Tukwila over the past several years, and I worked here for 6 years in this capacity. I have 35 years experience with customer service and transportation specifically, and so I think I've seen a lot of different companies and how they manage customer service. And I think Waste Management has one of the best systems that I've seen in place to be able to have kind of a seamless flow through process when there are issues that come up, because there certainly are going to be issues that come up. It's never going to be 100%. We would strive for that, and I would expect the drivers to expect, you know, to strive for that. But in many cases, it's just not possible. And one thing that social media does for us is gives us another opportunity to see the temperature of our customer base. And unfortunately, from what we've seen that's been shared, you know, with us, we've got some improvement that we can work toward for these specific residents. And I take this as an indication of the temperature overall of our customer service operation. And so I'm very concerned about it. And my process when I get these service complaints is the customer service representative sends me a case, as it's called. And it details any of the information that was given to the customer service agent if it's relating to service. Now, things relating to billing and those type of things I don't see. The only thing I would see is something relating to, you know, missed pickups or issues with the driver, right? So I get several of those. I get several of those, you know, every week from the City of Tukwila residents. And I try to call every resident and get some feedback on what they're, you know, and try to deal with them personally and let them know that we care about it and we got their complaint and that we've taken steps to address it. And then I do some other things. I print maps of the specific home for the drivers. I print the history of what the customer interaction has been, and I give those specifically to the drivers, and I expect them to take that with them on Friday when we service all of those homes and to pay special attention to that particular address and to resolve whatever the situation may be. It could be something as simple as the can is placed in the wrong place, you know, after service, or it might be that the resident is placing the can in the wrong place to be serviced. And so we can have some interaction and training, you know, back and forth there between myself and the drivers and the residents. And I'm in Tukwila every single Friday, and I speak with, a number of the residents. I don't certainly get to very many, but I speak with everybody who's out walking a dog or who, you know, waves at me as I'm driving down the road or anything like that. And so I feel like I've got a pretty good pulse on the service, provider, the service provisions that we have in place for the City of Tukwila. Are there any specific questions that you might have for me relating to some of these aspects that I might be able to help with?
Deshaun, did you want to ask us anything specific? Because I've got a couple, but I want to let you and Tom ask specific questions. So, Deshaun?
Yeah, just so briefly, really kind of maybe getting into what Councilmember McLeod started to go to. Definitely I understand there's social media posts, but then, I mean, these are real impacts for folks in certain parts of the city. And if you don't get contacted by a specific resident, but we are aware of a location that has been missed, can we facilitate that? And then, but also, have a loopback on what actually was done, because I think some of this is resolutions either don't get articulated or may not be achieved. And so I think as council members, we want to make sure to live up to the responsibility of how things get resolved. And absent us knowing, then we know that there's been challenges. And so when we go into discussions about how we address those challenges, we might be missing some key information. So I guess, are you open?
On a lot of that. You guys don't see the day-to-day resolutions and those type of things that we are able to achieve in the short term. So you're kind of in the dark. I can certainly appreciate that. And perhaps Laura has a solution for that we might be able to implement outside of our normal communication protocols that we have.
Yeah, and I would say too, I know you guys don't know me, but I am happy to send you an email with all my personal contact information. So if you are ever in that situation and you need an answer to something, you can always, always call me and I will work 100% to get it resolved for you and let you know what we've done and what we need to do. So
Laura, please include my information on there as well.
Okay.
And I immediately get that contact and can jump on things. You know, that immediate communication is always the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so you know, too, one of the things that I've done recently, I heard about just some street cans that were missed. Jennifer called me and told me the route she had taken to try to get it resolved. And for whatever reason, the person on the other end didn't receive the email. And I said, you know, in the future, just remember to copy me on those emails. And I can help take action to resolve. I'm always working with Brandy on situations that come up because I'm not there in the middle of operations, but I do pester them enough to get it done. So you can also email us too. I mean, I think the most difficult thing for us sometimes looking at social media posts, you know, that were sent to us, is we don't have addresses. We don't have specific information we can follow up with. I could probably spend time in our database researching and trying to figure it out, but it's a lot easier if, you know, if a customer can provide an address, whether it's through you or directly, you know, when they call customer service. It's helpful.
And so I just wanted to end with a willingness to talk about a process along with what you mentioned and maybe something for us on the back end to make sure, you know, things are going immediately to where they need to go. And mm-hmm. So I would just throw that out as being open maybe to an innovative process here.
Yeah, and I would just also throw in there, like I said, I'm new to managing the Tukwila contract, and I know that, you know, there's several staff at Tukwila that are new to managing the contract too, and I'm committed to, you know, communicating with them and doing maybe a little bit better job of that communication so that we can streamline these sorts of things.
Thank you. And then if you want to just get that information to Laurel, then Laurel can
okay.
just out to
okay.
everybody that needs to get it. That would be great. Tom, thank you, Deshaun. Tom, did you have any other specific questions?
One more question. On one of these Facebook posts, they talk about calling customer service that's in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a local customer service or is it a national number that we're getting?
No, you guys have a local, well, it's a local Tukwila number, or it's a phone number unique to Tukwila, but it does go into our Phoenix call center. That's where our call center is based. And we have agents that are trained specifically about the Tukwila contract, just like we have agents that are trained about a Federal Way contract or a City of Auburn contract. So not every city has a unique phone number like that. A lot of cities just, you know, it's a general number that goes into the Pacific Northwest, where we have about 108 reps overall. But yeah, that is our customer call center, but the rest of us are all local. So, you know, that's.
Okay. Verna, I'll yield back, but I do have a question for staff after you go.
Okay, Scott. Scott has his hand up, so I'll let Scott go ahead and go and then talk.
All I wanted to ask, thank you very much, was that there is a Tukwila resident that has a comment before you move on. She'd like to ask a quick question. She's on the phone.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. you can unmute and ask a question. That'd be great.
Okay, thanks. This is Barbara Combs, and I live on 53rd, which is why I'm on this call tonight for that that part of the meeting. But I just wanted to comment on the waste management thing so that they know, hear from somebody, because I'm one that's had my recycle missed. I think it's been 3 times in the last couple months, so quite a few times. And all I will say in the customer service side is when I talk to someone, they're always super nice, so there's not a problem there. But we all hear different things. Like what they told me is I'd have to wait 2 weeks to have it picked up. But they told my neighbor, Ajwa, that they'd come out that day or 2 days later. And then they also noted that it had already been picked up. It had been logged as picked up. and but at a different time for her than they told me. So that's my feedback, is just that what we're hearing, part of our frustration is we're not even hearing the same thing from you guys. We're hearing different things, and then we keep our kids out, and it's kind of a fiasco because we're also in the middle of a road construction. And I don't think that's why they didn't pick them up, because last Friday they did. They came and picked everything up in the middle of construction. The construction team is awesome. They let them through. So it's not that. But I just want to give that feedback.
No, thank you, Barbara. That's really, really good. And that kind of segues into what my thing is it really does seem to be the recycling. That seems to be the big number one issue, is everything from, and exactly what Barbara just explained, because this happened also, it's near 53rd, one of the, like behind Joseph Foster Park there, where the same thing, called customer service, they said, all right, we'll send a truck out tomorrow. So he brought his cans in, and then it came. So
That's extremely frustrating for the residents. There's no doubt about that. Right. There's no doubt about it. And I can appreciate why recycling tends to have more issues than the other lines of business. So the way that the union contracts are set up, the newest drivers go into the recycling line of business, and the more experienced ones are in the solid waste line of business. And so that's why we have less issues with the solid waste drivers, because they just have more experience. They know Tukwila. They've been around a long time. They service it for 20 years. They know what they're doing. So because of COVID over the past year, our normal hiring process is really interrupted. We had a hiring freeze all of last year. So this year, in order to make up for that, we've been hiring a lot more people. We've actually hired 39 people this calendar year so far, which is actually the amount we normally hire over the entire 12-month period of time. So our process of training those drivers, getting them experience, getting them comfortable with what they're doing, is going to result in things that get missed. We do everything we can to alleviate that and to minimize that, but that's kind of the lay of the land, where I'm kind of locked into that. One other thing that we do to make sure that the drivers know what they're doing out there, we have a 5-week or 6-week, in some cases, training process for those drivers before they're ever out on their own. So they know how to drive the trucks. They know how to use the electronic device that's in the truck. It's called a tablet that shows every individual address, and the driver, and when he finishes that home, he statuses that individual address as complete, and it disappears off of his tablet. And so they also have a map that has a line drawn on the map that shows them exactly where they're going, where to turn left, where to turn right, all the things that we need to, where they need to back in, all the things that, you know, cause, like backyard services, where we go into the somebody's house and drag the cans down the driveway for them. It's called a backyard service. We also have a GPS tracker in the trucks, so that I can watch the trucks where they're going and watch them following the line and make sure that they're not missing anything, to make sure they've covered everything that needs to be covered. So Waste Management has a lot of tools in place to be able to give the drivers all the support that they need or that they should have out there. But I appreciate the comment, because they are exactly right. It is always the recycled drivers who tend to be the newest drivers, who tend to get confused, might get lost. Those type of things occur, and we have to give them extra support. One other thing that I did a little bit of research, and I've, over the 6 years that I've been here, we've added 3 recycle routes to the city of Tukwila on Friday. We used to have 8, now we have 11. And what that means is that the city continues to grow, and as residents become, I think what really has happened more than the number of homes is that the number of pieces of cardboard at each home has dramatically increased because of things like Amazon, right? So my drivers aren't able to cover as much geographic area, so I added 3 routes. Well, that makes for a little bit of inefficiency, because I just did it on my own. So coming up beginning in August 1st, we're going to have what's called a reroute done by our computerized rerouting team, their offsite, but they reroute the whole city of Tukwila and they make it more efficient, right? And so that's something we can look forward to as an opportunity to improve the situation that the drivers have when they go out into the street. And I'm in Tukwila every Friday with the drivers, and I primarily focus on the recycle drivers just because of that reason. So I can appreciate the concern about recycling, and I know that it's an opportunity for us going forward. That's always where we have, you know, in every city, the recycling line of business is always tends to be more difficult.
And I, too, will follow up with the customer service center to see why there's mixed messages happening. Is the information incorrect that they're looking at on their screen? You know, is there something that we can do better there to communicate the right process? So.
Good. And I think that, because of all of this, I think this is great. This is great information. I like the fact that you're going to do the reroute. I think that will help. And also us knowing that we have other people that we can call. And so when people call us, we can pass them along. And so there's a better understanding. So I really appreciate both of you being here. I appreciate the time. I don't have any additional questions. We've got to move on the agenda. Tom or Deshaun, do you have anything else? Okay. So let's just continue to work with our staff, and then we will continue communications with our staff. And I look forward to August 1st.
Right. August. And please know that I'm more than happy to sit down with each of you individually and, you know, go more in depth if you have time for that. So.
Sure enough. Yeah. I was just going to say, I just want to thank Barbara for being here. And I think we're definitely, you know, someone that can facilitate. But I think if residents have needs, I would prioritize them. And then we'll find out on the back end.
Right. Okay. All right, you guys, thank you for being here. Barbara, don't go anywhere, Barbara. Your topic is coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna wait through. I think Scott's gonna give me a high five when
Perfect.
You guys are talking about it after the next topic.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Well, now let's move on. We're gonna move on to item E, which is the BNSF alternate access study, which there's some updates there. I think there's a timeline. So Hari, Scott, whoever's taking this one.
Yeah, committee chair, that'll be me, Hari Punakandi. So last we had a discussion on this on June 14th at the committee of the whole. We had clear consensus from all of the council to go forth with options 1 and 2 as presented in the memo. So staff went and we did further research on the funding piece. And so here we are coming back to you with two things. One is what are the possible funding sources, and two, what is the schedule, possible schedule that will look like. So if you look on your page 23, what we're trying to explain is third quarter of 2021, we're identifying project funding, that's this discussion, and third and fourth quarter of 2021, hire a term limited project manager. That's a key step in this process. Fourth quarter of 2021, the project manager, before the project manager comes in or once the project manager comes in, begin monthly progress meetings with Allentown community. We think it's very important for us to set the meetings, set the dialogue so that we don't lose that information and the good communication that we set up. And first quarter of 2022, the project manager hopefully will be on board by then, and he or she will go in, do the RFQ process for the consultant to do the EIS process. And then second quarter, start the EIS. The contract will be sent to you for signatures first quarter. And then once the EIS process starts, we were thinking 18 months to 24-month process. So we're hopeful that fourth quarter of 2023, there will be a complete EIS with a preferred option. The report will be presented back to the council at that time. So with that timeline, with this discussion of the scope and schedule, what are the possible funding sources? So after much further discussion and research, here's what we found out is currently there are some funds in 42nd Avenue South Bridge design that we're committed to, and we are getting a little bit more grant funding from PSRC contingency and other sources, depending on how much money comes into that, how much money is needed for matching. Whatever is left in that can be diverted into this EIS process. And then we also think that there is a use end of, ending fund balances from general fund into funding this. For example, in 2020, you ended with the year with a $1 million fund balance. So if we have similarly $700,000 or $800,000 left 2021, we could, you, the council, can direct that. And then reallocate a portion of solid waste utility tax. So specifically, that's very clearly set for projects like this, roads and road-related projects. That's an easy way. 22 and 23, we could say each year we set aside $600,000 from that to cover the $1.2 million. And that would, then you don't have to worry about anything else that's fully covered. And the other option is to move and prioritize other CIP funds in the 104, 103, such as overlay or other projects, and push them a little bit here and there and take some money out of that to fund this. That is part of the budget reallocation adjustment process early next year that you guys will start the process in October, November. You can do that. And or there's another clear way out of this, which is issue an infrastructure bond. Right now, the bond rates are very low interest rates. Take advantage of that. Put a bond out there specifically for this purpose and get that out there. So these are the five options after discussion with administration and with the finance director and staff research we came up with. So what is the actual financial impact? We think it's $900,000 to $1.2 million. And if we end up borrowing a bond, then there'll be some interest rates. So the actual final impact will depend on which of the options we choose. It is a combination. But what we are recommending and what we're conveying through this memo is we heard you, we got the direction, we're clearly moving forward to getting that term limited project manager, we're moving in that direction. With these four or five funding options you have, we have time to get the funding done before January, because we don't need the funding sorted out until that time. So there is a little bit of time. We don't need that locked down tonight. So that's what I wanted to convey to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Hari. Deshaun, do you have any questions?
I do, but probably not for Hari, more than likely for the finance director. I'm comfortable with all options, but thinking about five, is there a way? I'm just thinking about bonds, about kind of financial, you know, commitment to infrastructure, you know, if there would be an advantage to, you know, maybe doing bonding a portion of this, would it impact positively our bond rate anywhere, or state assessment? Can we leverage that to move the state on other things? So maybe David, you sound like you look like you're ready to answer that one.
Right. I just wanted to make sure David Klein, city administrator, our finance director, is in the other committee meeting right now. And so she would be better available to the full council to give you those options. But Councilmember Quinn, you're exactly right. Those are the kind of questions that the finance director could give you. And I think as we go forward on these options, we can give the full council, this committee, and then the full council those options about interest rates. Just to kind of give you some perspective, is that the council authorized, and we just did some refinancing because of the low interest rates, and saved a significant portion of our funding for capital projects, taking advantage of those and our good bond rating. And that was called a private placement. and which was, we just went out to the private marketplace and got really good rates that the council authorized, and we saved the community and the city money on those. So one of the good options out there.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking leveraging, again, not trying to be risky, but like really kind of realizing these full options. I mean, you never know if there's an infrastructure package passed. This could be the kind of thing where we're doing a backlog of key transportation pathways or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the next, I'll just say I will have a question for the city attorney around the TLT project. Matt.
No.
So I'll have to take that up later.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember Quinn? I mean, not Councilmember Quinn, Councilmember Cloud.
Thank you. So I really had the similar question that Deshaun just asked. You know, as we talk about number five in the future, can you give us information about our debt capacity and the options to leverage using bonding? So would like a more comprehensive discussion in the future on that subject. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And we are going, and this is the item that is going to go before the full council, right, Ari? I think you're going to provide an update here at a meeting shortly, so. So now you know a couple of the questions here, which maybe, you know, you'll know to address those.
Yeah, I have talked to Laurel this morning, so we're definitely going to the full council for her, for the discussion with her. I'll take notes and we'll try to provide answers.
Well, and as all things too, I mean, these are great questions about funding, which that'll be discussed as it goes along. So, but these are, I appreciate my fellow council members. Good questions. So I don't have any. I'm just glad we have a timeline, and I'm really excited about the monthly meetings with the community. I think that's great. All right. So I think that's that, unless there's anything else there. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Surface Water Fund. Wyra 9, Watershed Planning.
Hello.
Hi.
Mike Perfetti, Habitat Project Manager. So I just actually in the chat put in a link for your perusal at your leisure of the update that we're going to talk about here briefly. And what it is the Wyra 9 update to the Habitat Plan that's been around since 2005. I think everybody in this committee is familiar with Wyra 9. It stands for Watershed Resource Inventory Area. Number 9 is the Green Duwamish Watershed and Central Puget Sound, including Vashon Island. So this update, you know, Tukwila is part of the Wyra 9 interlocal agreement with 15 other jurisdictions in the watershed. And in 2005, the city passed Resolution 1595 to adopt, to enter into this agreement and adopt the 2005 Habitat Plan. Since then, the city has been working to, as a partner with the other jurisdictions, and implement some of the actions and policies, or policy recommendations, I should say, and projects within the Wyra 9 Plan, including the Duwamish Gardens Habitat Restoration Project, which was completed in 2016. We're currently in the midst of construction for the Riverton Creek Flapgate Removal Project. That was also in the Salmon Habitat Plan. And two others are in the design and planning stages, Gilliam Creek Fierce Barrier Removal Project and the Nelson Side Channel. These projects not only help to recover struggling salmon and other fish species, but also provide public open space, water access, recreational and educational benefits to Tukwila residents. The plan update represents the next chapter of salmon recovery efforts in the watershed. It provides a science-based framework for identifying, prioritizing, and implementing salmon recovery actions over the next 10 to 15 years. It integrates more than a decade of new science and monitoring data, provides updated habitat goals, outlines refined recovery strategies, and embedded policies and programs. It updates the capital projects list as well and outlines a monitoring and adaptive framework for tracking the implementation and making strategic adjustments. This plan does not obligate jurisdictions to complete any particular project or program. Rather, it's intended as guidance document for use in habitat restoration efforts and in relevant city policy and code updates. There is no fiscal impact associated with this resolution, and the recommendation is that the committee is being asked to make a recommendation on the draft resolution for discussion at the July 26th Committee of the Whole meeting.
Thank you, Mike. Council Member McLeod, do you have any questions, comments, concerns?
No, we're basically talking just establishing a blueprint that we're going to try to follow. So I like that. I know this was a major concern of former council member Dennis Robertson. And so, no, I would be supportive of this.
Thank you, Tom. Council Member Quinn, no questions? All right.
No surprises here.
Yep. Looks good. Looks great to me. And I'm 100% certain that Council Member Robertson would approve as well. Mm-hmm. Oops, that's my mic. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mike. Beautiful picture in the background there, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. So do we have to give our yes to, or did we already
to
move
it forward? I was just going to ask you guys. You guys are fine moving this on to the next COW? Yep, great.
I want to mention, I've asked the Ryan 9 director, Matt Gehring, to make the presentation to the Committee of the Whole. He can give you, the committee, a much more detail about the update.
Wonderful. We'll invite Dennis.
I'm sure he'd love to go.
I know. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Have a good evening.
Good night.
All right. That moves us on to the 2021 Overlay Program 53rd Avenue South Widening Roadway Project, and this I am sure is going to be Mr. Bates.
Yes, good evening, council members. Scott Bates, project manager for transportation. Barbara was just going to call back in, and since she was a key player in this, I'm going to draw on a little bit to see if she jumps back in on us. She had something. We weren't expecting it to be quite so long. But I'll go ahead and get started, and for those, since there may be some call-ins who don't really get these memos to base it off of, I'm going to try to stick a little more to the script than usual. Okay, I guess Barbara's here now. Tonight, we're here to provide an update on the 53rd Avenue South traffic revision and sidewalk plan, including the widening of the road to accommodate two-way travel. A little background, we started in 2020 with an engineer's estimate for the widening of 53rd Avenue South between South 137th Street and 52nd Avenue South for two-way traffic and adding the sidewalks was approximately $222,250 plus construction management costs. A barrier to this project was a guy pole that needed to be relocated by Seattle City Light before widening for two-way traffic could commence. Due to these factors, this project was identified as cost prohibitive, and as an alternative, the decision was made to convert the road to one-way northbound operation while a new at-grade pedestrian walkway was installed. All construction was completed by city staff to reduce costs. During the April 12, 2021 Transportation and Infrastructures Committee meeting, staff presented three options for council to consider to improve pedestrian safety and vehicular traffic on this section of roadway. The committee members were supportive of option A, which included the installation of raised crosswalks on the east side of the road, designing for two-way traffic and construction as soon as funding became available. On June 17, 2021, negotiations with SCL came to a resolution, and they are expected to remove their guy pole by July 12th. Allowing this project to move forward quickly. Just a little clarification, this is July 12th and the poll is still there today, but I still have faith when I'm meeting with them tomorrow that we will meet all schedules that we've presented to you. Due to this new development, 53rd Avenue South roadway widening plans were presented to Miles Resources, LLC, who are the construction contractors for the overlay program. Using the existing contract prices, Miles has agreed that the estimate for road widening would be completed for approximately $50,000. Staff discussed these tremendous cost savings with administration, and the decision to move forward with additional work was made on June 21st, based on the committee support from the April 12, 2021 meeting. Widening of the 53rd Avenue South is anticipated to add approximately $50,000 to Miles Resources contract, after adding the additional work and subtracting for known project underruns. The current estimate falls within the the contract contingency of $51,867,000. This is only for discussion tonight, but our reason for doing this is that my schedule, the way it proceeded and our very late notice, really raised some concerns with the local residents. We've done what we can to mitigate the impacts with those residents, but the major concern was the fact that it really, in their eyes, happened without much notification. And we're hoping for continued transparency from this point on, and staff is doing everything we can to mitigate the inconvenience that this project may incur.
Thank you, Scott. Well, thank you. I will ask my fellow council members if they have any specific questions, and then I know we have some people on the line that would like to address us. So do you guys, Tom or Deshaun, do you have anything that you wanted to say?
Well, I'd like to hear from the residents.
Great. Okay. So it's really weird on Teams. I can't see this. So if somebody would like to speak, if you could just unmute yourself and tell us your name so we can make sure we get it part of the minutes, and the floor is yours. Is Barbara still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I thought somebody else might speak up.
Well, go ahead.
The only things that I really wanted to note on this were to reiterate what we said when we had the street meeting on that hottest day of the year. We're all out there sweating away. But the deal then was the residents were concerned about a couple things. One is the increased traffic back to the two-way when we were kind of getting used to the one-way. Nobody liked the two-way at the bottom and the one-way at the top. I mean, I think that was, we're lucky that nobody got whacked, because that was just, I saw so many close calls. I live right in the middle of the hill there, and it was just not okay, and it never would be okay. But we were all advocating for the one-way all the way down or all the way up. We didn't really care, but it would be, not as wide of a road, obviously, take less of our property, but it also would make it a little bit of a quieter street. So I'll just note that again, because we still all feel that way. But at the same time, we heard that it really needed to go forward with the two-way. That's what the contract said, and et cetera. So just throwing that out. The other thing is, I was going to say what Scott said, which is the pole's still there. That's on my property. So, I can see it, and obviously it's still there. So I just wanted to say that, which I guess you guys know. And then the other thing was the sidewalk, we love it. I mean, this is a lifesaver, I think, to have that sidewalk there. It's just fantastic. But geez, I'm looking at that, the amount of room we've got to put a two-lane street in there. And it really makes me nervous that there's room. And I, obviously don't want even more of my property to be erased. My driveway is already just right there. So that's all I wanted to note.
Barbara, thank you very, very much. And I want to apologize for not being at that meeting on Friday. I had a meeting at work that I could not leave. And so I appreciate Deshaun being able to be there and the other staff members as well. Deshaun, I'll let you go because you were there. Thank you.
You're muted.
I'm on mute. Yep. Definitely for those that weren't there, I definitely want to leave space. But I just want to thank Barbara for her direct questions. And then just kind of talking through a path, I very much appreciated that. And then here's the other thing. There were a couple things that were said, and I just wanted to reiterate that not only for Barbara, but any resident in the community, we got a commitment from staff to have significant kind of engagement. And, this is an example, Scott, continuing to follow up, but also like being able to predict on what stage we are, what kind of potential impacts they have to the ingress and egress to their property. And then the other thing is a potential for maximizing this contract and getting in a way where there's a potential for speed bumps I just remember that that was discussed. And so I just wanted to reassure where we went in that discussion that all those things were reinforced. And so getting that, making sure to just kind of verbalize that commitment that was made out in the street, but also just the peer engagement from staff there and the residents, kind of wanting to have a level of certainty in a time of kind of uncertain construction. I think that will be important going forward, and I will yield that.
Thank you, Deshaun. Is there anybody else that's on the line right now that would like to address the committee? Okay. Well, I'm going to go to Councilmember McLeod, and then I'll check back. Councilmember McLeod, did you have any questions or about what we've been talking about?
Maybe I want to just verify it. Maybe it was Scott. So I'm looking at your map, and when this is all done, do you feel that you've heard from enough residents that outside of a narrow street on 53rd, that they're happy with the flow of traffic and the way it's going? Do you feel you've heard from enough residents that when we, even if it's clumsy getting there, that they're going to be happy with the outcome?
Every response, all the input I'm getting at this point, other than the concerns with the impact to the local residents, which is completely understandable, it's overwhelmingly in support of having two-way traffic on 53rd again.
And I mean, there's streets we drive around sometimes where there's parking, and it's a two-way street with really only access for one car. So people
right.
do figure it out and they navigate it. But I mean, what will we do as a city to ensure that it's safer? I heard speed bumps. So we like that's what we're thinking of for that road also, like we have on 52nd.
We definitely talked about putting speed cushions out there. I'm going to say, 99% for sure we're going to put them out there. We need to make sure we communicate well with the local residents as to the impact. Now, I would like to add that we have a new transportation manager that started last week, and his name is Mohammed Musa. I don't know if Hari planned on introducing him, but I can say that in the few days that I've worked with him, he has brought a wealth of knowledge and expertise on these subjects specifically, and I think that you're going to be very happy with the level of expertise we'll have on board now. So he brings up a nice fresh point of view, and I think that we will be transparent in our moving forward on what we plan on doing for traffic calming on that street. If the speed cushions are the best alternative, we'll do that. A radar sign would probably be a good application, although it's a very small stretch. But we will do everything we can to get this not to be the raceway that it's feared to be.
Thank you, Scott. No further questions.
Great, thank you. No, this is great. I'll just kind of offer it up one more time if there's anybody that tuned in that would like to speak.
This is Barbara again. I'm just going to wrap up on that, what Scott said. And I think some of you know this already, but my neighbor, Ajua and Wayman, they have a developmentally disabled young child. And that's a huge thing. So while it's nice to ask other people that have to go down that street, I would wager, human nature-wise, that most people are going to say they hate those bumps. I hate them. They're way too big. And I know Scott said they're like natural, normal, but I mean, I've driven all over Kent and Bellevue. They all have poured speed bumps, and they're nowhere near as crazy as the ones we have around here. So it'd be great if there was a slightly smaller bump, to be honest. But that being said, just to help Ajua and Wayman with their child, and, we also have someone who's got lung cancer on the street. I mean, it's a tiny street, but, we live here, and there's a lot of impact to everything that's decided. So I feel like if that is something that's on the fence, I would say really important to help the people on the street feel safe, because people do fly. I mean, oh my God, they fly, they catch air coming up that hill, and it's really pretty crazy. So, if that's on the table, I think a radar sign is too little, too late. I don't think people are going to read it. Scott and I have talked about that. I mean, whatever you guys decide, but I think it needs to be real and concrete. The other thing I would say is that I just want to note on the good side of the ledger that the construction company that you all hired is, these guys have gone above and beyond in being as kind and helpful as they can. And if any of you know Kathleen, who lives on the street, they apparently, she actually had a kind word to say about them, and that is not a thing that happens. So they've been really, they go out of their way to walk my friends over if they park at the park, to make sure that I can get out. Obviously, it's crazy, but they're really pretty stellar. And so I wanted to make a note of that. So you know that I think you made a good choice with your crew. Now, it's not all done yet. I reserve the right. And I think they broke my lamp, Scott. Jeez, we'll have to talk about that. But honestly, they're great. And that's all I have to say.
Oh, Barbara, you made my day. I mean, that's great. Thank you so much for calling. And your input is invaluable. Because, you know, that is kind of one. I was driving around Bellevue the other day, and I was noticing the cement bumps versus the cushions, but that's a discussion we can have as we move along.
Yeah. I just want to throw it out there that they look like they're poured.
Yeah.
And so they're just a little gentler,
yep.
But they still have the impact. So, you know, anyway, throwing it out.
Right. Thank you
much. Thank you all for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime. Pop in anytime. And the other thing, too, is that I do know over the years, because we've talked about this street a lot, and we do have people that live like up in the terrace apartments that walk down, and there's a few disabled people that are up there as well. And I'm really glad that we are getting this resolved, and hopefully that light guy pole, I've never heard of a guy pole, but I call it the guy pole, the pole, will be removed. So great. So I don't think there's anything else on this. Are we're good with this, you guys? Thank you. And thank you again, Barbara, for being here and all of your support. And thanks.
I just to take this time and say thank you to Scott for being professional throughout, doing a good job.
Yep. Scott, you've done a good job.
Thank you.
All right. So that moves us on to, I believe it's our last item on the agenda, which is renewal of recyclable market surcharge. Hari, is that you?
Yes. So, committee members, what you have in front of you is a recycle surcharge that we had in front of you guys 2 years ago. The waste management, as with their contract renewal, we did a 4-year contract renewal. With that, they have asked for a 5% increase in surcharge. And what we told them at that time is we will only give you 2-year increase. Come back to us and tell us what the market conditions are 2 years down the road, and still prove us that the recycling market is still not come back down and it still is expensive. And then it's up to the council at that time whether or not to approve this. So here it is in front of you. The 2-year 5% increase will expire October of this year. And so 90 days prior to that, Waste Management has submitted this request. And attached to this request has the data that they have shown us, which shows in red the information on your page 17 that they are losing money on recycling. The market conditions are still difficult. So it is very similar to the information they have given us 2 years ago that when the council has approved. So as staff, what we're telling you is this is very similar information. Market condition seems very similar. And it's up to the council and to take it for discussion or approval at the next COW and then the council action. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Hari. Councilmember Quinn.
It's hard to tell if this is current. So well, I see 19, 20, and then it's the 90 value for 2018. Have we kind of verified this maybe with the other partners out there, this is actually happening.
Yeah, I'll verify. The contacts have not been updated since then, so I think the numbers are still the same is what I'm understanding, but I'll double check.
And it sounds like with that update would be the increased amount. So after that number go up, I think, you know, this is what we've asked for. I think I personally say if we can update the increase of recycled materials that they receive, I just think that that's a process that we should all expect, and it's kind of, at the end of the day, it's numbers, and if, you know, as their accuracy continues, you know, I think I'd be curious to see if there's anything that we can do, state legislature or anything else that could encourage an adjustment, or maybe we're just really efficient with the recycling.
Good point. Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod. I just keep looking. Deshaun's like right here.
So our your chart on like 19 and or page 19, you know, does reflect that, you know, we're a lot lower than some of these other company or cities.
Yes.
But a question I want to ask almost circles back to the first subject, mm-hmm. and that is, who in the city oversees the performance of waste management?
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're reading on Facebook, we just had a discussion about it, about recycle not being picked up, and, you know, what kind of recall or pushback do we have on that? So when they come to us and they want to raise rates,
right?
I guess I want to push back and say, well, what about the service? And right. who oversees that in the city and does anything about it?
Right. So here are some talking points I've written for myself. So waste management contract is roughly 10 years old. So by the next 2 year term is ended, it will be an 11-year-old contract. So the contract prices are old. So that means we have very good deal. That's why the numbers are low. So that's the number one piece to give you the information that we have, our customers have got a good rate because the contract is old. The second part of that is the contract administration is in section 4.1. City can assess performance fees, but there are certain steps to follow. I'm talking to our legal department, but there are certain steps to follow. Step one is anytime a service is missed, we in the city, currently Public Works Department and our Jennifer Ronda, she's our admin assistant, she takes the calls from anybody that has not received proper service, and then she reaches out to waste management and we give them a chance to correct. So that is the step one in the contract that says if waste management has missed a street or if waste management has done an error in their service, step one is for the city to reach to them and tell them that they have missed this, and then they give them a day or 48 hours or 72 hours to correct the process. And if that was not corrected properly or there is a repeat and there's a trend of that type of mistake happening again and again and again, then the contract stipulates a documented fee or a documented penalty to waste management for not performing. So it's a performance or lack of performance fee. So you have to follow an escalation to that per the contract. So those are the steps that are in the current contract.
Okay. I don't mind these increases because I can see them probably in line with some cost of living, but I don't want to accept these and know on the backside that we're getting service that the residents and the business community is not happy with, which if I read Facebook, I draw that conclusion. So So I'm okay with this type of increase, but I think there's a flip side to that coin that I want to make sure that we, the city, are following up on. I yield back. Thank you.
Hari, these recycled charges right now are linked to non-residential, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is, I appreciate what Tom is saying, but this particular thing, and I think if I'm remembering, is that we just can't take the recycling from our businesses and send them somewhere anymore. It's very difficult. So correct. There's a cost. There's a surcharge that Waste Management is charged. It's kind of like King County pass through on sewer, kind of in a weird kind of way. Am I right? Kind of.
Yes.
That's a bad analogy, but you know what I'm trying to say, right?
So, right.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm fine with this. I'm fine with it. I think we're fine with it. The three of us are fine with it. So this will go on the consent agenda. I think this is just, but like Deshaun said, if we could just make sure the numbers are right, make sure that that's all correct, that would be fabulous. So I think that's it. Does anybody have any miscellaneous or anything else, Deshaun? I see you're reaching for your button there.
can you just recap really quickly? I know we moved up the BNSF study item.
Right.
You know, for those that may have joined late, let people know what occurred.
Right. So basically, for those who we switched the agenda around a little bit. If you read the agenda packet from tonight, really the meat of this is on page 23. We have an EIS schedule that staff is going to follow as far as getting the process for the EIS started. And in that is also in fourth quarter of this year, we'll begin monthly progress meetings with the Allentown community. That's a big takeaway for me. And then the EIS will start, you know, we're hiring along a term limited project manager. First quarter 2022, we'll start the request for qualification process for the consultant. Second quarter of 2022, we will start the EIS, and that process takes quite a while, and they're hoping to complete the EIS, report back to the council and the Allentown community, bearing in mind that there will be monthly meetings to keep the community apprised, but that will probably take till fourth quarter of 2023 to get the EIS complete with the preferred alternatives. And then the other thing we talked about was the funding sources. And again, you can find that on page 23 of the agenda packet. And I will report out that we are having a full presentation to council on this, but I'll briefly report out on this tonight under reports just to keep the council up to date. Is that okay? All right. Okay, thank you guys. And we can now eat dinner maybe. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who's still on the call from the community. We appreciate you. See you guys later. Bye.